We're going to go to Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and we'll read a couple scriptures, but first we'll pray. And just once again, praise God for the good report from Brother Kevin. I love it when God shows up and shows out. It's just who he is, and he's definitely worthy to be praised. Let's pray, and then we'll go in. Father, we honor you this morning. We thank you for taking care of us. We thank you that even when we worry and we get scared, time after time, Lord, you're there for us. Time after time, you never disappoint. You always are the comforter. You're always our good Father. So today, Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts, that we can receive a word that will forever change us, that will help us further your kingdom. Yahweh, we love you. We thank you for everything that you continue to show us, that you do for us. We thank you that your mercy and grace are renewed every single day. We love you, and by faith we believe these things are done. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 11, we have John the Baptist, who has come into the scene. John the Baptist, according to Scripture, was born with the gift of the Holy Spirit. His mama, Elizabeth, was hanging out at the house, and when Mary was pregnant with Jesus, she walks in, and the Bible says that as soon as Elizabeth heard heard Mary speaking, that the babe, John, inside of her became filled with the Holy Spirit. So no doubt this man was full of power. He was full of strength. The anointing of God was on him, and he was doing the things that God had set him out to do. But one thing I love about John the Baptist is he knew how to find his worth. He knew how to find his value. How many of us today, when God tells us to do something that's so big that we think we can't accomplish it, or it's too big for us, or we're too old, or maybe even we're too young to do that, we're too young to take that step of faith yet, or we feel like that maybe that step is for somebody else, we feel like maybe we're too tired, or maybe we've gone too far in life, or maybe just absolutely we believe we don't deserve the goodness of God. And we let those opportunities that God's placing in front of us pass by. Or we don't necessarily lose those opportunities, but sometimes we make the trial a lot harder than it has to be. You see, there's nothing wrong with telling God, God, I'm not worthy of this, or God, I don't feel like I deserve this. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because that's the truth. The Bible says that you're in my filthiness is as dirty rags. The Bible says that you and I deserve death. But we can't stop there. We have to understand that God made an exchange. And if God says that you're worthy, if God says that you're chosen, if God says that you're loved, then God's word is supreme over everything else. So if God's given you a vision, if he's given you a promise, if he's given you a dream, then it's not on you to make it happen. It's on you to be obedient to the voice of God, and it's on God to make it happen. The Bible says that when God's word goes out, that it will accomplish every single thing that it's supposed to accomplish, that it doesn't have the ability to return unto him void. I use the analogy that when God speaks something over us or to us, it's like a boomerang. It goes out and it comes back to him. And when his word comes back to him, it must accomplish everything that he set it out to do. So the question is, why do a lot of us, myself included, try to get away with, God, I'm not worthy to be able to do this, or I'm not good enough to be able to do this, or I'm not strong enough to be able to do this, or I'm not loving enough to be able to do this, or I don't have the finances to do it, or I don't have the patience to do it. If God told us to do it, then he has supplied everything that we need in order to accomplish what he's told us to do. And it sounds good. It sounds really, really easy. But in order for us to do what God's telling us to do, we have to be willing to find our worth. We have to be willing to find our value. And I promise you today, the world is throwing everything it can at our kids, at our brothers, our sisters, our family, our loved ones, trying to tell them how to have value, trying to tell them if they'll buy this or dress this way or listen to this, then that's how they become worthy or that's how they become acceptable. But today I want to challenge us to know that there's been a better way, and that better way is God's way. In Matthew chapter 3, we have John the Baptist. The Bible says, John, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Verse 12, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Verse 14, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? In other words, John the Baptist is telling these Pharisees, these Sadducees, listen, I'm baptizing with water, but there comes one after me that's going to send a spirit like you've never seen before. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. He's so holy. He's so perfect. He's so righteous that I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. I'm not even worthy to do the things that he's going to do. I'm not the one that a lot of people are seeking. He's perfect. He's amazing. He's awesome. And here comes Jesus down the trail, and when he sees John, he says, John, you're going to be the one to baptize me. Let that sink in for a moment. John had just got finished prophesying about the Holy One, about the one that knew no sin, about this perfect Savior of the world, and this Savior comes to John and says, listen, I want you to be the one to baptize me. What a humbling experience. What an experience for John to prophesy for minutes to these men and to these women and to talk about this one that knows no sin, this perfect Lamb of God. And now this perfect Lamb of God that John says, I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes, is saying, listen, baptize me. Brothers and sisters, today I want you to know that God's telling us to tell people about him. You may say, Brother Allen, I'm not worthy to do that because I messed up this morning, or I messed up last night, or I keep messing up. I can't get this out of my life. I can't stop lying. I can't stop cheating. I can't stop doing wrong things. But I'm telling you today that Jesus is telling you to tell people about me. He's saying that you're worthy of his forgiveness. And if God says you're worthy of it, then that settles the matter. John had just prophesied to these men and women that the Savior of the world's coming, and he was just sitting here for a little while doing the things God told him to do. But when the Savior gets here, he's about to go away, and the Savior comes on the scene, and Jesus says, baptize me, John. And John's instant response to Jesus is, listen, are you really sure you want me to do this? Are you sure you want me to be the one that baptizes you? Because I beg you, sir, I think you're the one that needs to baptize me. And John was right. John was right to argue that Jesus should be the one to baptize him. And I want you to know today, brothers and sisters, that you're right thinking that you don't deserve him. You're right thinking that you're not good enough. I'm right thinking that I'm not good enough, that I'm not worthy. But when he told us we're worthy, when he said, listen, I died for you, Kevin. I died for you, Alex. I died for you, John. I died for you, Amanda. I died for you, Alan. When God tells us that he died for us and that he rose on the third grave for us, that if we would have been the only ones on earth, that he still would have did everything that he did, then we have to believe our worth. We have to believe that we were worth the blood of Jesus. We have to believe that we're worth his mercy and his forgiveness. Because I promise you, when you will believe and find your worth in God, then everything the enemy tries to tell you will mean absolutely nothing to you. John easily could have said, Jesus, I know you're the Savior, and I know that when I was in my mama's belly, that I was filled by the Spirit of the living God. But this time, I think you might have missed it. This time, I think you don't understand that I need to be baptized by you. Because who in this call today and that will hear this message would not love to be baptized by Jesus? If today we were in Israel in the River Jordan, and I was baptizing people, and Jesus was baptizing people, I'm not for sure anybody would be in my line. I wouldn't even be in my own line. I would be trying to get to the one that knew no sin, yet he became sin so that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I would be getting to the one that chose to come and die for me. But Jesus is walking up on John and he says, listen, John, I need you to be baptized by me. Or I need you to baptize me. And John says, listen, are you really sure? In other words, I'm not worthy. And I love Jesus's response in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. But Jesus answered and said to him, notice Jesus did not condemn him for his question. Jesus did not scold him for his question. Jesus did not rebuke him for his question. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know it's okay to ask God your questions. You might as well, because he already knows our hearts. I have people talk to me sometimes and they'll be like, Alan, I don't want to tell God I'm scared. I don't want to tell God I'm worried. I don't want to tell God I'm nervous. I don't want to tell God that I don't think I can do what he's asking out of me. You might as well. Many times in my life, I try to hide something from God. I try to act like I'm powerful and I'm scared to death. I'll try to act like I'm ready to do what God told me to do and I'm nervous on the inside. And what I personally have found out is that if I'll be honest with God on the outside, then he'll fix my inside. One more time. If I will be honest with God on the outside, then he'll fix me on the inside. You see, I believe that sometimes when I release that to him, I'm showing him that he's worthy of my confession. I'm showing him that he's worthy of my love. More importantly, I'm showing him that he's worthy of having my honesty. In other words, he's worthy of having my heart. I've realized that the worth that God has placed on my life, the worth that God has placed on your life is of great value. I would argue it's invaluable because he gave the only thing that he could give, and that was his son. God gave his son so that you and me can experience freedom. He gave his son so that you and me could experience life and life more abundantly. God doesn't want us beating ourselves up on the inside. He wants our light to so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if you're too busy telling God you're not worthy or you're not good enough or you can't do this, then I want to see how bright your light's shining. But if you tell God, listen, I'm not worthy, and he says, yes, you are, and you believe that, then I believe the light begins to shine on the inside. You see, a lot of people think it's an act of humility to say, I'm not worthy, and that's true. And if you're doing it as a sign of worship, more power to you. But if you're doing it as an excuse not to do what God told you to do, then that's the part I want to challenge. That's the part I want to change. One of the songs my friend Staceland sings that I absolutely, probably my favorite song in the world, it says, you're worthy of it all. And the song goes through and it talks about when I was next to the hospital bed, you're worthy of it all. When things were going bad, you were worthy. When things are going good, you're worthy. And that's what I want us to know today, that no matter what situation you're in, he truly is worthy of it all. And the one that is perfect considered you worthy to die, to have his son's blood put on the altar so that you and me can have access to the Father. Jesus, in verse 15, Jesus answered and said, permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. In closing today, John the Baptist said, listen, Jesus is perfect. There's a prophet coming that absolutely will make me fall to the wayside. He's the Lamb of God. He's perfect. He's a Savior of the world. And that Savior, right after John prophesied this, comes down and says, listen, I want you to baptize me. And John's immediate response says, I'm not worthy to do that, Jesus. Jesus, are you sure you want me to be the one to baptize you? Because I think you need to be the one to put me down in the water. 10 out of 10 times, I agree that Jesus should be the one baptizing. 10 out of 10 times, I think it should be Jesus doing what needs to be done by the Father. But Jesus says, listen, John, I understand where you're coming from, but I need this to happen because I know the value that God has placed on your life. John, I know you're scared and I know you're nervous, but I know what God has told you to do. And I don't want to destroy that. I want to help make that happen. Brothers and sisters, I know that God has spoke a word to a lot of you. I know that God has told you he loves you and he forgives you and he's redeemed you. I know that God has told you your greatest years are ahead, no matter your age. I know that God has told you that he is a God of love and a God of comfort, that he wants you to stop beating yourself up. He wants you to let that sin go. He wants you to let that condemnation go. You see, I know the Savior of the world has told you that he loves you. And that he's not here to destroy you, or he's not here to condemn or to break you apart or to expose you or to do these negative things to you. He's told you that he's here and he's here to help you. But the question is, what is your response to that kind of love? What is your response to that kind of amazing grace? And I want to argue with you and encourage you today that there's only one response. And it's the response that John the Baptist gave Jesus. The Bible says, then he allowed him to do it. In other words, John said, listen, Jesus, are you sure? Jesus said, listen, I'm here to fulfill a word that was spoken to you. I'm here to do the Father's business. So listen here, John, I know you're nervous, you're scared, and you're worried, but put me down in that water because that's the will of God. And the Bible says that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And the great thing is because John was willing to obey, because John was willing to step out in faith, the Bible says that when Jesus came up out of the water, that the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the living God, the creator of all the universes, the creator of every good and perfect thing, the Bible says that the Spirit came down as in the shape of a dove and sat upon Jesus, and a voice came from heaven that said, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Because John the Baptist was willing to step out in faith, God was able to speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. My question today, brothers and sisters, is what are we holding up? What are we stopping God from speaking from heaven? What are we slowing down from God speaking from heaven because you and me feel like we're not worthy or we're not good enough? What are we slowing down? Can we stop the plan of God? Absolutely not. But can we hinder it? Absolutely. Not because we're more powerful, but because he's a God of second and third and fourth and fifth chances. You see, we can't stop what God wants to do. But if God wants to do something, I want to encourage you and myself, let's be a part of it. God doesn't condemn us for saying we're not good enough. He doesn't condemn us for saying we don't think we can do it. When he says back to us, yes, you are, that's the part that he wants us to step out in faith. John the Baptist stepped out in faith, and those men and women that were around that River Jordan that day heard the voice of God. I guarantee you those people that heard that voice for the rest of their life never forgot it. I guarantee you those people that heard and saw the Spirit of the living God rest upon the shoulder of Jesus for the rest of their days were never the same because there was an experience. There was an encounter because a man that said he wasn't worthy to carry the shoes that the Savior of the world wore was willing to dip him down in water. Good God Almighty. What is God waiting on you and me to do so that he can show people the Spirit of the living God? What is people waiting on? What is God waiting on you and me to do so that He can speak to us, so that He can speak to others around us? And it's not meant to condemn or to make you feel like you miss God. I want to encourage you today to know that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today His mercy and grace is renewed. Today is the day that you can change it all, that people can experience, can encounter the one that has eyes, the Bible says, that's like as a fire. The one that has hair that's white as snow. The one that has creatures going around Him every day singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb our God." And the Bible says they've done it for eternity and they'll do it for eternity. He is perfect and He is in love with you and me today. John chose to dip Jesus down in the water. Because of His obedience, it released the Spirit of God. I want you to know that there's some obedience that you're going to do that's going to release the love of God in your life. And maybe even more importantly, it's going to release the love of God in your life and others around you. You see, it didn't matter that those people standing on the River Jordan that day were Sadducees and Pharisees. No doubt there probably were some beggars, some whores, some thieves, some all kinds of people. The Sadducees were saying that there wasn't a resurrection. The Pharisees were saying there was a resurrection. They were arguing that they thought they were righteous. They thought that their rules and regulations made them perfect. They didn't want to hear the voice of God, but because one man's obedience, they got to experience the love of God. I want you to know that you can be John the Baptist. You can do what God says, and that'll release the love, and that'll release the voice, and that will cause people's lives to forever be changed. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank You today. I thank You for the love that You've placed in each one of our hearts. I thank You that, God, I know we're not worthy. I know we don't deserve. But God, if You said we are, then God, we're just going to believe that today. We're going to believe Your amazing grace, like the song says. We're going to believe Your love that knows no end. We're going to believe You, Yahweh, because You are a good, good Father. And Lord, I know that You are exactly who You say You are. You're better than I ever gave You credit. You're good all by Yourself. So I pray for my brothers and sisters today and that will hear this message. I pray that You will open up their ears and open up our hearts so that we can do the acts of kindness. We can do the things that You're telling us to do so that people can experience You in a way that they've never felt before, they've never seen before. Shake us to the core with Your goodness. Shake us to the core with Your love. And by faith, we believe these things done. We settle them on earth as they already are in the heavens. In Jesus' name, amen.